Father, we stand on your word, and we ask that all the fullness of your power to do good, all the fullness of your power to heal, all the fullness of your power to restore, all the fullness of your power to do that which you say you will do, already moving around doing good, is released even here and now to your people in the name of Jesus. On this day of covenant, O God, we receive your fullness of mercy, of blessing. We receive them, O God. Lord, we say there's a cutting asunder of every yoke in the name of Jesus. And Lord, let the release of your presence in full into our lives as individuals be made manifest in the name of Jesus. King of glory, we stand and say, there will be no defilement that will stop your move. Father, rather, King of glory, find him out, even like you did with Achan. And Lord, keep that soul uncomfortable, unyielding, until there is a yielding even in the course of this service in the name of Jesus. The Father, have mercy. Lord, we pray, you have mercy. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon these ones that have willingly tempted you on the day of battle and wanted to hold your hand. Lord, we ask, yet walk your way and single out these ones for your mercy by your word in the name of Jesus. We saturate here with your presence and we say, God, confirm your word. Perfect your word. Bring purifying by your word. And Father, launch us out to have the fullness of life in this day of meeting and discussing with you. May you move in every arena of our lives. Take control. Rule. Who in our lives? Who in our circumstance? Who around us can be a guest when you are for us? And today, O God, release your blessings, your power, your mercy, your healing, your restoration, and let there be sounds of joy in the house of God. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. You sent forth your word and you healed them. By your word, there was no feeble one amongst them. By your word, the waters of Marah were healed. By your word, the things that were wrong and disease and disadvantage to your people were healed. So you will do again today. In the name of Jesus we pray. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. I want to thank God. We'll continue from work and have your fullness. It means that once there's any ailment, disease, whatever by name it goes, you are entitled to have a sufficiency of God's provision. But healing is not only limited to the body, not limited to diseases, not limited to sicknesses. God is talking about healing in a more comprehensive manner. God is talking about healing in every area of our life that is disadvantaged. Healing in every area of our work, career, living as children of covenant that has a problem. May the Lord enter your situation and come out with victory. He's already here, and I know it, and you believe it. And I pray that your faith will rise up to have an encounter with him in the name of Jesus Christ. So today, we're going on more on that journey of healing from the Lord. Look at Exodus chapter 15. Verse 22, and may I also adjure you that by whatever power has held you, where you have gone and where you have also mingled yourself, either defiled yourself bodily or gone to pay allegiance and God has found you, I pray that you will be broken down and that God will have mercy on you in the name of Jesus so that destruction does not come. Exodus 15:22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? He cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters, the waters were made sweet. There, he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there, he proved them. And there, he said to them, I am the Lord your God. If you listen to me and do what I say is right, and if you obey all my commands and laws, then I will not give you any of the sicknesses that I gave the Egyptians. Then I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am Jehovah Rupheka, Jehovah who is the physician, Jehovah who heals all about you. If you look at this passage is not in the context of physical healing of sickness. This passage is in the context of need, is in the context of a lack, is in the context of an acute need to meet life's demands. It's in the context of being so thirsty. And when you are thirsty, not even many bottles of malt, no matter how cheers. Not so many bottles of soft drink, no matter how they have been preserved, can quench your thirst. The only thing that can quench a thirsty soul when you are very thirsty is what? Water. So the children of Israel had journeyed for this. And not only have they been for this, 3 good days in the wilderness of life, in the journey out of Red Sea, they have been delivered from captivity. They have been delivered from physical taskmasters. They have been delivered from sin, so to say. They have been delivered from the divide that held them down. There has been a separation. And I pray there has been with you. There has been a separation. They have crossed the Red Sea. No man gave them a chance to so do. Pharaoh and his soldiers and strategists say, no, they will all be buried there. Whoever, however, on their side was a great wilderness, on the other side was a great forest, and right in front of them was a Red Sea. No way of escape. And yet this God, who when he brings salvation, brooks no opposition, delivered them by a mighty hand, brought you out from the land of sin, gave you liberty by accepting Jesus. That's the equivalent of going through the Red Sea. Yet, after they had been delivered from the Red Sea, from Egypt, they had acute needs. They were now in a journey to the promised land. They are now in a journey to where God has said there will be milk and honey. They are now in a journey to where they will now settle down for once. Just like you and I are supposed to be on a journey of where the heavenly city is. The heavenly Jerusalem. And we have come from where no one who knows where he has come from desires to return. And has a longing. And so we are in the journey of life now. We are in the wilderness of life. For 3 good days, no water to quench their thirst. They had needs. They had deprivation. They had lack. They could not meet up with finances. They had a constant opposition in their place of work. They had a constant nagging need in their family life. They had a constant need that kept them from reaching their potentials. And they were fagged out, so to say. They were getting despondent. They were virtually crying out. And the only place they came to and found what looked like water, the Bible said after they had been thirsty, they found no water. And they came to where there appeared to be water. But it was an illusion. It didn't offer help. Just like whoever has gone to a place where there is no help, for whatever reason, and we pray because we know the terror of God with a sweet man, and we pray that you be broken down by the terror of God in the name of Jesus. They came to where there was seemingly help, water. But it was only water in looks. It was not water in substance. The name Mara, bitter, sour. That's another name for Mara. So the water was of no help. Their life, instead of being sweeter, being a taste, being a fragrance, showing the power and the presence of God, had been limited. And so they had no help. The water they found was bitter. And they named it appropriately. I said, Moses, here is the illusion. Here is no help. Here he is shortchanging our lives. Here he is bringing us below where God wants us to be. And they began to now drop in their walk with God. They began to murmur. They began to cast down their faith. They began to go their own ways. They began to plan. How do we get water? God cannot help us. Let's find help for ourselves. And they went right and left. And they have called upon themselves many times. And they have sought all sources of help. But thank God, Moses cried to the Lord. Hallelujah. Moses cried to the Lord. And what did the Lord do? The Lord showed him a tree and said, drop one of the branches into the water, and the water that once a while was bitter, nobody could taste, no animal could taste, your life bitter, circumstances hedged in, things that have kept you below who you ought to be to return in joy of God, stunted, marking time, your heart already beginning to say, can God hear? Can God speak? Can God save? Can God deliver? Is he still able to keep pace? He who promised, is he faithful to get through? All of a sudden, the Bible says, the waters were made sweet. May the waters surrounding you that have been bitter be made sweet in the name of Jesus. May the waters that have been there as illusion, that looked as if it will suddenly click, life partnership, pregnancy, whichever way it is, admission, vacancy, created for you. The moment it's about to click is an illusion. It becomes bitter. It becomes yet one more failed attempt. One more near attempt. Never getting through. May they be turned sweet in the name of Jesus. And because God had arisen. And so God said, you saw what I did? I just healed your circumstance. I just taught you that what today looked like was no way can tomorrow turn to become a highway. I just told you that from one extreme you can move to the best of things that are in your life. But there's a condition. And he gave them a condition that was in fourfold. And he spelled it out very clearly. He said in verse 26, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, if you will walk to obey me, and no other, your small God. So when God is talking about gods this morning, he was prepared. It's either the gods in your pocket or the gods you can control. Or the people whom you usually want to listen to and jettison the word of God. Or the places where you often want to go for prayers that are rather leading you to believe contrary to the scriptures. Gods they are. They are bringing down your faith. They are making you to begin to murmur against what God has said in his word. And you are way down. If you will diligently, without fail, put your heart and your mind to me, and no other, sheepishly, foolishly, obey. If there is no idolatry with you, if there is nothing competing for attention in what I say with you. Number two. If you will do that which is right in God's sight, if you will live righteously, that condition never goes. That's the condition. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Who shall stand on your holy hill? Who shall come to your holy presence? Who shall obtain blessings? Psalm 24, verses 3 to 5. Who will obtain blessings that will last? There are blessings, seemingly, and there are blessings. There are blessings that are illusion. There are blessings that you get today and tomorrow they disappear. There are blessings you have today, you make money, and they demand more from you than your righteous soul. There are. But you say, whose blessing shall last and become sweet and no longer marah and no longer with stories all around it? He says, if you will do what is right, if you will live right, if your life as God x-rays you from inside and from outside is right, that's a definition of holiness. Who you are when God's eyes are on you. In the secret, in the open, in the dark, in the rooftop. When you're alone, when you're in the crowd. When your heart is thinking and meditating on that thing. And when your actions are being carried out. Who you are when God's eyes are on you. Who are you really? If God can look at that life and see it transparent, that what is in the dark is what is in the open. What you manifest when alone is what you manifest when in the crowd. What you manifest when you are where no one sees you is what you manifest where everyone knows you and seemingly thinks you're a Christian. That's your quotient of righteousness. He said, if you will live right, if you will do right, not situational holiness, not situational righteousness. When you come to where people are saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, suddenly you become the best sweeter. When you come to where they're saying, boss, oh yeah, hey, which one was up? You change automatically. Chameleonic, no. If you will live right, consistently, if your life can display God's glory, if the fragrance can pass through you, if God's power can pass through you at every point without anything blocking that conduit where the power of His holiness is passing, if it can go through, if there's no death, if you can live right, thirdly, He says, if you will give ear to His commands, it's not just about knowing what to do, but if you are living the right way before people. If you will live actively to point out who you are, that where you are, even without speaking, people will know this one is different. Show forth the sweet smelling fragrance that comes of Christ. Live differently. Live with eternity in view. The Bible told us in Hebrews 11, 13 to 16, people like Abraham, who when they left the city, they knew they were going to a country of which they had been promised, which they saw afar off, and therefore they patterned their life not to live as people from where they had come, and therefore they decided, even though they had not seen the city, they decided to live with hope, with a view of eternity. Philippians 3, 17 and 18 says, there are people who live as if their bellies are their gods. There are people who are sensual. All their minds, all their thoughts, and all their work habits and colleagues and association are just things. What can I get? What can I derive? What is my benefit? God is secondary. What makes for righteousness is secondary. What takes to heaven is secondary. There are people who are like that. Everything is sensual. Everything is earthly. Everything is I, me, benefit, flesh. And when the Spirit is speaking, they say, no, wait a while. Let me just enjoy myself a while. You see, there are people like that. And there are people who, even though they appear to have found life, cross the Red Sea, entering into the wilderness of journey towards the promised land, but their end is destruction. And I pray you are not one of them in Jesus' name. And no wonder God will tell us clearly the way He has spoken, that in the midst of the day He wants to move, to heal diseases, to heal the bodies, to remove the marrows in our life. If you don't take care, He also smites in His righteousness. So He says here, if you will do them and keep all His statutes and be seen, not just to pick one and live after the other, not just to decide which aspect to obey and live out the other. And like the Bible told us in Galatians 5:16, at each time your flesh and your spirit are at war, one with the other. One is telling you this is the way to go. This is God's standard. The other is telling you no, it doesn't measure up to your family status. It doesn't measure up to who you are coming from. It doesn't measure up to your class. It doesn't measure up to those who are students like you. It doesn't measure up to those who have married like you. It doesn't measure up to what people will think about you. The other is telling you, think about yourself. Think about pride. Think about what you see. Just what we discussed last Sunday. The other is bringing you down. And it says, you are never free from the effect of any of these two. They are constantly at war. Whomsoever you yield yourselves to obey, he will be the one who governs you. And then gave us an admonition. Walk in the Spirit, that you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The things that sound as if they're good, but they are not. The water that looks like the real water, but is mara, is bitter. So friends, God says comprehensively, I want to intervene in your life. That's the meaning of this passage. Praise the Lord. I want to intervene in all around. And then He now said, if you do this, then come. I will not allow, because that's the real meaning of that phrase. I will not allow these diseases that come habitually on those whom you have crossed their boundary to remain on you. I will not allow the reproach of Egypt to remain on you. I will not allow every of those elements which I allow. And God allows them because there is a cause and effect. There is the effect of sin. There is also the result of righteousness. Live right, and he says, I will not allow. Live wrongly, go your way, find your own level, and dispute with God at each point in time, in your life, in your lifestyle, and in your company. Then, those things which come to those who disobey will come your way. So the conditionality is there. It's not just for the grabbing because you've crossed the rest of your child of God. There are conditions. Obey these, keep true to them, then these things that are a law of cause and effect that come on those who don't obey me, I will not allow them to be on you if you will live right. For I am the Lord that has the power to stem them and keep them from you. And may that be your testimony from today in the name of Jesus Christ. So God is talking about comprehensive healing, brethren. Healing in every area. If you could see this passage where they have needs as a group, as a body, as individuals, to satisfy an acute need that they couldn't by any other means get, then you will get the picture. The moment God stepped into the picture, their situation changed. Their joy returned. He restored their confidence. And he brought them to the level of walking with him. And I pray that that will be our portion too in the name of Jesus Christ. When we are talking about God's healing, and we have said comprehensively, God had an original design for every one of his creature. At the beginning, God intended that we in his image and his likeness, everyone in his image and his likeness should have what? Dominion. Genesis 1:26 says, let us make man and let him have dominion. The nature of God. Let him dominate his environment. Let him dominate the air. Let him dominate the land. Let him dominate the forces of nature. Let him be in authority over them. Let none of them hamper or hinder him. Let him have authority like us. That's God's original intention. 1 John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may be in health and prosper, even as their soul prospers. Comprehensive life insurance by God himself. Dominion, comprehensive healing, all manner of healing. And that's the true prosperity. As your soul, as your spirit remains right with God, and as you walk in tandem with him, and as you satisfy his yearning, and as the Spirit of God bears witness with you that you are in the right, your soul prospers. It is my desire that you also have dominion in all things that pertain to what? Life. As well as things that pertain to godliness. That's dominion. Have dominion. And be in health. Comprehensive health. Health of the body. Health of the mind. Health of the spirit. Health of the home. Health of job. Health of your personality. Comprehensively. That's God's desire. But of course, as you know, eventually, that's also God's eventual eternal program for everyone who has been created. God wants to restore that eventually at the end of time. At the beginning, that was his design. At the end, that is his grand design. Look at Revelation chapter 21 verse 4. Revelation 21 verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. No agony, no lack, no need, that is essential for your well-being, to be in health and prosper as your spirit prospers. No more tears. No more living below potential. No more a reproach for which you've been crying. No more sorrow. That's God's final plan again. Beginning, grand design. End, grand design. But you know that in between, man got it wrong. Man fell. Man fell because of what we also know today. For once, they looked at the fruits and they saw it was good for life. Good to behold. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And they had another God. They didn't keep that first word of commands in Exodus 15:26. They didn't obey diligently. And say they sought their own wisdom. And man fell. And as we read on Wednesday, because that's very fundamental, we saw in Romans 5 verse 12, sin came into the world because of what one man did. And with sin came death. And with death came despoliation. And with despoliation, dejection. With dejection, diseases, disappointment, living below God's original level. Everything that came, because that law has been broken. Now, the rest of the after effects, which we see today in diseases, in illnesses, in hard times that men and situations create, and we look like pussycats in their hands. You see circumstances you can control. You see things where you should have dominion, and they are controlling you, making you cry, making you be in sorrow, be in bitterness, be in marah. He says that's where it all began. When we sinned, death and all the baggage it brings came. So this is why all people must die, because all people have sinned. And then verse 15. Verse 15, Romans chapter 5. But God's free gift is not like Adam's sin. Many people died because of the sin of that one man, Adam. But the grace that people received from God was much greater. Praise the Lord. Many received God's gift of life by the grace of this other man, Jesus Christ. 18. So that one sin of Adam brought the punishment of death to all people. But in the same way, Christ did something so good that he makes all people right with God. And that brings them true life. Life in all its fullness. Salvation is a package. The salvific work of Christ on the cross is a package. It comes not only with saving the soul. It comes also with liberating the body. It comes also with freedom to the mind. It comes with renewal. It comes with every package, including healing and deliverance from everything that has held you down and all the works of the enemy. That's why the Bible says in 1 John 3:8, for this purpose was Jesus made manifest, that he will do what? Destroy everything that originated from the devil. Everything that had a root in our life, that has stood against our progress, that has stood against who we ought to be, that has stood against our joy, that brings pain, that brings sorrow, that brings crying. Jesus came to do what? To destroy it. That's why he came. So salvation is at the forefront. These others follow it. That's comprehensive living. That's real prosperity. Not the one that you get all the money and get all the fame, and yet your life is a wreck, as it were. It's comprehensive. He brought that package, and in it are all these benefits that come. So Jesus came to restore, to bring life, and to bring life in all its fullness, and to cleanse from sin, to cleanse from the possibility of even going further away. He brought the possibility of divine health. Colossians 2:13, we will read it again, and read it again more comprehensively. Read it in King James if you find it for us. Jesus came and said everything that is mara, every aspect of life that makes it difficult for you to lift up your head and say, I've been delivered through the Red Sea. I'm a child of God. I am who I am. I am the son of the king. I've been adopted. I'm a joint heir with Christ in spirit and in body and in physical life. Jesus dealt with them. Colossians 2:13-15.
Had the quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to this cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink.
It's all right. 2 verse 15. Praise the Lord. So when Ephesians says, we can do all things through Christ, it's true. I can do all things through Christ. All. I can aspire. I can rise. I can be well. I can fare well wherever I am. Through who? Christ. This is the passage that made it possible. So every of the appurtenances, all the gadgets that came with our fall, the moment Jesus came, the Bible said both principalities and powers, he disarmed them. He went to hell and also removed the power of hell to keep men in bondage and came out and ascended on high and now liberated you and I. And every of those things that have come with failure, that have come with living below our level in spirit and in body, the Bible said he did what? He nailed them to the cross. Everybody say nailed to the cross. He nailed them to the cross. Every ordinance, every speaking, every background, every foundation, the things that tell you this is how people from this family usually behave, they don't cross 40 years of age. They don't arrive to this position. They don't go to this type of thing. They are not seen with this. He nailed them where? To the cross. Everything that the natural man will say, look, who will expect you to do this from where you came from? The ordinances, the handwritings of men, of devils, and of any other thing that was contrary to what Jesus came to do. Nailed to the cross, triumphed over them, and like a Roman general, he displayed them openly. They have been taken care of. And that's how you and I have our liberty. Praise the Lord. That's how you and I have the possibility of healing as the children spread. That's how you and I have the possibility of liberation from the things that keep down. So when we are praying and we are going to pray these prayers and believe God for them, praying for them, they are not unscriptural. They are very scriptural. The only thing is that people taint them. People emphasize them. Get all the jets. Get all the cars. Get all the risks to get in livelihood. But let your life be a murky water. Let your life be like mud, like death. Don't count what your life is like. Count what you can do outwardly. No, that's not the gospel. But God says dominion. Have it. And let whatever counters that be nailed to the cross. Right from the moment you encounter Jesus. And today, let it go back to where it has been nailed in the name of Jesus Christ. We will walk in dominion. We will walk in truth. And like we mentioned, there is therefore now no more condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation from the devil. You've escaped from his camp. No condemnation from the handwritings, the speakings from your forefathers. Many people are still told today, oh, let's go back to your ancestral home. Let's dig. And they dig padlocks and they dig chains. Where did they find that in the Bible? And they tell you, look, that is the end of all the problems. It's all ceased. Has it ceased? They bring more upon your head. Ask those who have gone for such encounters before. And maybe somebody here just went recently. And that's why God is talking this way. You may have said you brought contractors, men of God, so called as it were. But they have all gone to manipulate. And they've all gone to do divination in your place. And defiled you. I pray you get delivered from that in the name of Jesus Christ. So he's already free. Free at last. If the Son of Man shall set you free, you are free indeed. That's the standard. If the truth shall set you free, as you know it, you are free. No condemnation. Not from the quarters of the devil. Not from the quarters of hell. Not from the quarters of the world. Nothing. Why? He gave the reason, the law of life in Christ Jesus, through whom I can now do all things, become all things, has done what? Set me free from the law that only went to death and took me to sin. Friends, that's our deliverance. That's scripture. That's who you are. And when the Bible says we've been lifted together potentially in heavenly places with Christ, and we are joint heirs with Him, who can have rights to anything that Jesus has? The Bible means it. It's only for us to understand it and live at that level and say, God, this is our privilege. We humbly come to ask to live at that level, and we shall realize it in the name of Jesus Christ. So as we go to begin to pray, we'll pray on all manner of conditions. We may not be exhaustive on them, but we'll just make the pronouncement of what the scripture says. This is a day of covenant. And friend, can I tell you, if your faith is large enough to receive, you will have in the name of Jesus. It will be turned over in the name of Jesus. God knows better than to allow any iota of His word drop to the ground without fulfillment. The conditions, Acts 10:34, Peter looked around and said, brethren, I used to think that God was partial. I used to think that God had selected sons. I used to think that God had only the Jews. That's the background, because He was in Cornelius' house. I used to think that the Jews were the favored of God. I used to think that it's only people who are in a certain cadre, who were born to certain family, who had reached certain heights of Christian service. I used to think that it was only them who received mercy from God. But now, I have seen that God is no respecter of persons. I have seen that God has no special bond. I have seen that God has not made up one person for all blessings for life, and another person for all causes for life. No. In every nation, in every church, in every gathering, in this gathering, whosoever fears the Lord, and whosoever makes up his mind to meet the condition of righteousness, and obeys Him and walks with Him, that's Acts 10:35, will also have these blessings. That's what Peter was saying. That's how it came to Cornelius and his house. Gentiles, away from the commonwealth of promise, but upon them also was the blessing of the Holy Spirit poured out. Contrary to nature, contrary to Jewish expectation, contrary to what the handwritings had been, they received and were engrafted in. And then Peter now ended in Acts 10:38 and said, friends, you remember Jesus Christ of Nazareth, how He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, and He went about doing good and healing all manner of diseases and delivering everyone who was oppressed by the devil. So it wasn't only health. It wasn't only health. When He said, Peter, go pick the fish from the river, open them out, bring out the coin, go pay for yourself, pay for myself. Was that a health need? Not at all. Not physical health need. When Jesus got to the woman whose only son had been gone, going to the burial ground, their hope lost, hope of advancement lost, hope of inheritance lost, hope of progress in the place of work lost, hope of perpetuating the family line lost, hope of pregnancy lost, hope of life partner lost. That wasn't health. It wasn't a matter of physical health and illness. He said, son, rise up. Bitterness turned to sweetness. Dejection turned to acceptance. They became the talk of the town. That's what Jesus has come to do. Every oppression of the devil, He's an expert in making sure that He rights the wrongs in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the condition. Isaiah 53:5 says, for our transgression, He was bruised. For our iniquity, He was chastised. The punishment of our sin, He bore them. He did an exchange. Every of the things you and I were entitled to have rightly desired, Jesus stood in our place. Receive the nails. Receive the spear by the side, the sword by the side. Bled for you and I. You have no more right to go through them. And that's why there should be nobody here this morning who hasn't willfully surrendered his life to Christ. If you are, you are living a life that has already been paid for. You are living in waste. You are wasting their resources. You are living below where you ought to be. What you are seeing and where you are is an illusion. It's not life. It ends to destruction. And I plead with you once more, if you don't have a conviction that the Spirit of God is inside of you and bears witness that you're a child of God, at any level as it is, yield. It was better to start today than to wait in assumption and presumption and never get started. I still remember a day, a super permanent secretary in the days of Gowon, when I was in Kwara, 67-year-old man. He was speaking English, not just Queen's English, but what they called King's English. He was speaking English as if he discovered the vocabulary, sir. And any time he was speaking, you would just love to listen to him. He was a man mountain of a man. He was from a wealthy family. He had got all life had gotten. And one day, you saw him bounding on the stage, up and down, as if to say, time was running out, time was running out. And after a while, he said, Sam, I regret one thing. I regret I didn't know Jesus at your age. I regret I didn't accept him then. I've wasted many years. I want to make up for lost time. 67 already, friends. Even if you are not up to that, have you found the peace that Jesus gives? That's the foundation. Otherwise, it's wasted here. Don't tell me you are from a religious family. Oh, there are many people who were also of the stock of Eli. But did that make them safe? Hophni and Phinehas were the world's culprits. Samuel had his name, the sons, Joel. The Bible said the reason why the Jews demanded for a king was because his children were no more walking in the way of the Lord. And do you know how they were described? From a priestly family, but they were described as sons of Belial. What an opposite. Is your life in contradistinction to what God says? And you're still saying, I'm from this family. That won't get you far. Today, yield and let that salvation come. That was why Jesus paid the price. And at that same point in Isaiah 53 verse 5, he paid the price. He also did something. At the end of verse 5, he says, by his stripes we are healed. So comprehensive. Salvation and the healing of the things that should have stood against us. May you embrace it in the name of Jesus Christ. May it become yours, not just for now, but for life. And we have the assurance. And that's from James again. And we read it. If any one of you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. James 5:13-14. Let them come, praying over him, anointing him with oil. And the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. Prayer of faith shall heal the sick. And if he has committed any sin, he shall be forgiven him. You see the condition again. When you are not living right, when you are absolutely not under God's influence, that's when these ailments, physical torments, as well as the others, have their field there. But there's provision. He says, confess your sins one to another and pray that you may be forgiven. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, will produce results. So friends, God is asking you today, what conditions are those that are ordinances, handwritings, that have been contrary to you as a child of God, contrary to you as a family, contrary to your progress, contrary to you as an heir? Many of the times you look and you say, look, God, but I still have this area. Let me make it clear. You will not have everything in life that will make you like God. It will be impossible. Lucifer tried it. You know where he ended up. Right down beneath. It won't be possible. No man will ever know everything like God. But there are things that God has made to give us life and godliness. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And all that, the cries, the tears, the sighs, can go. And joy, sweetness can return. Whatever is legitimate in that ground is their own privilege to have. And that's what God came to bring. And may you and I have it in the name of Jesus Christ. So give your life to Christ. Surrender. Healing is the children's bread, not thrown to the dogs. And then as you do so, believe. Believe. I gave a story a bit on Wednesday, and I said that's the greatest problem of the modern church. Technology, science, laboratory, proven things. We are tall in knowledge, we are very short in belief. We are tall in what we can see and touch with the five senses and sometimes sixth sense, which may fail us. But we are very short with the intangible. And that's where men of old surpassed us. And today, ask God to give you cause to rise to what He has made you in that regard in the name of Jesus Christ. So even if you are walking right with God, believe. Believe. You know, before you mention one disease, many people here are medical. Your mind has already mentioned 5 possibilities. In 1 minute, your mind has told you it could be any of these. Mention headache now. Somebody will tell you myalgia, cephalgia, vertebralgia, cerebralgia, and all the algias. I'm just talking like a novice, so to say. Somebody's mind will already go through them. Shut them up. Brutal in trusting God. It can be different. And that's how He said, if anyone will get blessings from me, let him be like these little children. Whatever you tell them, they simply hold it and are ready to go on with it until there is a superior argument from you to change it. That's what God is saying. And so we look at the encounter in Mark chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus came to His own people, His own country, where He was well known. And you can imagine, I guess what happened. You know, the moment He came, the fame of Him has spread round. Going round, doing good, healing, delivering, restoring, bringing to life, bringing to level, bringing to status. And Jesus said, let me go to where I was raised up. Let them also experience the blessings that come from knowing me so closely. The moment Jesus walked in, they said, look, hey, son of Jesse. Others say, hey, our fellow mate in apprenticeship in carpentry. Others said, hey, that boy who was so quiet, so he can now do some good things. The opinions were formed already. And all through the time Jesus was there, their minds went to what they seemingly knew about Him in their mind, not to trust in what He could do for them. So, look at the encounter. Mark 6. Jesus left and went back to His hometown. His followers went with Him. Look at verse 5. Jesus was not able to do any miracles there. Where? Except the healing of some sick people by laying His hands on them. Look at verse 6. Even Jesus Himself was surprised. He was surprised that the people there in His hometown, where He was well known, where you would think that having been around the environment with Jesus, their faith would topple others. My translation here says, He was surprised that the people there in His old time had no faith. He marveled at their unbelief. It surprised Him. It shook Him to the marrow. So friends, it's not about head knowledge of what the scripture says. It's not about high knowledge of where you can be. It's not even positive thinking as we have many preachers do today now. It's possibility preaching that we're hearing. Oh, believe it. You can do it. You can do it. No. It is rising your faith to believe who God says He is and what He says He will do. That's the answer. That was what they could not get up to. They were still held down. And Jesus was surprised that they had no faith. May that surprise not be expressed on you and I today in Jesus' name. Look at another example in Mark chapter 9. Look at verse 23. You shall look at verse 22. The Spirit often throws him into a fire or into water to kill him. If you can do anything, please have pity on us and help us. What was the Father's request hinged on? If you can. That's where many of us are. Are you with me? If we've heard you can change my situation. We've heard you can give conception. We've heard you can make the doors against me to open. We've heard you can change the attitude around my family life. We've heard them. But if, that's how far he could go. But nevertheless, Jesus was minded to her. So what was the next thing? Jesus said to the Father, why did you say if you can? Praise the Lord. Why is your mind saying if you can? All things, how many things? How many things? And where we say it again in Ephesians, I can do all things, Philippians 4:13, through Him who strengthens me. All. is scripture, is the new life, is where we ought to be, is where our position can be with God, through God, not through your possibility thinking, through Him who has established it. And so look at Jesus saying again, all things are possible for one who believes. All. Friends, all. Oh, that's what I have begun to ask God for quite a while. And many of the times, I've desired to be like a child, to experience the blessings. And I've seen them come. All. Shut where you are coming from. Shut who people say you are. Shut what they have said about your circumstance. Shut the impossibilities they say are your way. Shut them and dare to believe. And have that as the only option. That's what he started with in Exodus 15:26. If you will diligently hearken to only my voice, shut out the other voices speaking in your brain, in your mind, in your home, on the TV, on the cable, on the network, shut them out. Let God be true, and let every other person be whole, a lie. The moment Jesus made that revelation, verse 24, immediately the Father shouted, I do believe. Help me to believe more. I decided to read it in this translation so that you won't misunderstand King James. King James will say, help my unbelief. So many of us will think, hey, the man is saying, Jesus, since I don't believe, remain where I am now. No. Help me to believe more. With all that is in me, I'm believing. If there's more to add, Jesus, add your own. Hallelujah. And look at the answer there. Look at verse 29. Jesus answered, that kind of spirit can be forced out only with prayer. Friends, we have seen what God says to do. We have seen that He's ready to make us prosper and be in health. Physical health, spiritual health, career health, family health, situational health, as our spirit prospers. And I'm going to just read a passage. The Bible said in Luke chapter 5, verse 17, the end of it, the power of God was present to heal. The power of God was present to heal. In other words, there are times the power of God may hold, but here, today, whether you want to doubt or not, the power of God is present to heal. It's not just the scripture, it is also God's factual statement. Is present to here. Obadiah 17 says, among Zion, and Zion is the gathering of the people of God spiritually, there shall be what? Deliverance from everything that has held you back. There shall also be a condition, holiness, and then the children of Jacob by promise will begin to possess their possessions. Lamentations 3:37 reminds you and asks you a question. In case there's still a doubt, who is he that has spoken and it came to pass when God has not allowed it? Is your mind doing a faith walk now? Who are they that have spoken? Where is the statistics you are deriving your information from about your present lack, about your need, about your situation, that has prevailed when God has not allowed it? And Revelation 3:7, one of the things Jesus said there is, I am He who opens and no man can shut. And I am He who shuts and no man can open. So we are dealing with He who has all the power to bring to come to pass His word. Allow that to happen today with you in the name of Jesus. Shall we rise up to pray? When you rise up, just hold some other person beside you. Just rise up, hold somebody two by two, and all you are simply going to do now is to ask God, Father, I believe. Lord, I receive. King of glory, I want to walk in the liberty that you have set me free. I pray for myself. I'm praying for the person whom I'm holding his or her hand. Please be holding somebody. I pray, God, your word is true. Your word is no lie. I believe. Help me to believe more. Help my brother to believe more. Let your power present to heal enter my situation. Change his situation. Change her situation. Let there be a possessing of that level of living, of promise, of blessing, which you have, O God, pronounced already. Lord, let there be a turning around of events. Let the doors that have been closed begin to open. Let where ordinances have been written, O God, begin to give way. Let the things that have been said contrary to the needs of my brother or sister begin to give way, since you have not allowed them. This is a time of asking God, help me believe more. Help him believe more. Work out your will and your desire already in this life. Today you have come in your power to visit your people. And will receive that which is our due. God, do it in the life of my brother. Do it in the life of my sister. Do it to God to your glory. Do it to the great amazement of all. Do it to prove your words true. Do it that the sighing, the crying, the pain, the sorrow will go. Spirit of God, we say. Oh, he's greater than Jehovah, Lord divine. There is no one greater than Jehovah, Lord divine. I say, who is greater than Jehovah, Lord divine? There is no one greater than Jehovah, Lord divine. Oh, call excellent Jehovah. Marvelous Jehovah, there is no one greater than Jehovah, Lord. I call him excellent Jehovah. Marvelous Jehovah, there is no one greater than Jehovah, Lord divine. If you are not yet sure you are born again, if you know you've been held down by sin, and if you know your heart is still condemning you, if you know if the trumpet of God and heaven sounds, you are not sure you'll be making heaven with his saints, please come out here, let's pray with you. Let's pray with you. You are not sure. You are not sure. Just come out here, let's pray with you. Who is greater than Jehovah, Lord divine?
There is no one greater than Jehovah, Lord divine.
I say, who is greater than Jehovah, Lord divine?
There is no one greater than Jehovah.
If all you are hearing now is my son, give me your life. My daughter, give me your life. Please walk out here. Obey that prompting. Obey it, and it shall be well with you. Surrender to that lady, and it shall be well with you.
Walk out.
to repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, with my heart, I surrender completely to you. I yield my life to you. I surrender my past. I surrender all allegiances that have competed with you in my life. Have mercy. Forgive me. Cleanse me. At this moment, Jesus, I invite you into my life and into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Give me the power to be a child of God. Write my name in the book of life and give me the assurance of belonging to Him. Lead me to eternity. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Lord, as many as receive you, to them you give power, not as man gives, not by the will of man, not by his thought, but by your power. You make all things beautiful. You cleanse the past. You nail them to the cross. And Father, at this moment, we ask that even that same experience will become your daughters now, in full, in the name of Jesus. Let the old pass away. Let that mystery of salvation that brings joy and peace without changing abound in her and surround her in the name of Jesus. Let the assurance that she has gone from the kingdom of darkness to that of light in Christ be evident in the name of Jesus. And let every path to God that has been contrary to her, let them be written off and let there be a new beginning as you write her name in the book of life. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. Please follow her. Calling.
Excellent Jehovah. Mother of Jehovah. There is no one greater than Jehovah the Divine.
You can sit down for a while. As you call whichever group you know has caused you pain, caused you lack, cost you need, cost you bitterness. Please, it's either you stand or you walk out. There's no shame in rising to the level God wants for you. I'll read some passages and we're going to pray for them one after the other. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:22, whosoever finds a wife finds a good thing. And so whosoever also finds a husband finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. A correct rendition of that passage says, him to whomsoever a wife is revealed. So it is God who really reveals a wife and a husband. And you are here of marriageable age, and you have agony for a while. Sometimes to mistaken point is a life partnership. The Lord will help you as you pray on this day of covenant with him, and he will align you in the name of Jesus. The Bible also mentions to us clearly in one of the passages that is part of our inheritance, especially in regards to family life. Look at Exodus chapter 23:26. Exodus 23:25-26. The same promise of healing. The same promise of healing and of restoration. Look at that passage. Exodus 23:25. It reads there, you must serve the Lord your God. If you do this, I will bless you with plenty of bread and water. That's healing materially. I will take away all sickness from you. Listen to verse 26. You women will be able to have babies. None of their babies will die at birth. And I will allow you to live long lives. That's God's promise. That's his expectation of you. So for as many of us as are pregnant, at whatever level, you will deliver at them by God's doing in the name of Jesus. Every other speaking in your body, in your mind today, they take a back seat. And for those who have been asking God for my own child, and God says it's not yet the passage of time of life for you, even if it were, but you have faith to believe in. We have read verse 26. None of you shall be barren. And there was no woman barren in the Bible perpetually except one as a result of course, Micah, the wife of David. The other six women that were barren got their babies. Whether it was a Hannah, or it was a Sarah, or it was a Rebecca, whichever of them, they got to conceive. Now, look at even a barrenness for a reason. Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. Look at verse 17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. Why? For the Lord has fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. They disobeyed God. They became barren. It needed prayer to be made. And as Abraham prayed, they were healed. Healed of barrenness. So friends, a God is able to give life partner without your groping in the dark. A God is able to give you conception and make you deliver at the right time without any threat. And our God is able to open the womb in the name of Jesus Christ. As we take this song, those of you who are believing God for life partnership, just stand where you are. And for once, ask God, help me to believe you more. It doesn't matter my past experiences. It doesn't matter my fears. It doesn't matter what I have gone through. This time, I want you, by the fact that you are here, Lord, let your word be true in my life. Let your word be true in my life. I want a life partner, and I want one whom you will reveal, male or female. Let us seek God and ask you, Father, come prove your word, because it is true, it is real. The Lord that do what no man can do. The Lord does what no man can do. I say the Lord does what no man can do.